We're recording this year as the third in the series on Kosev and Mochek, writing and erasing. We've gone through various issues in terms of writing. We've defined the act of writing. We've talked about what is considered text. We've talked about the issue of durable writing, writing which only becomes visible later on, letters that are taken apart and rejoined, a whole variety of issues. So we're going to talk about, in this year, hopefully, three things. One, Mochek, a little bit about the rules of erasure on Shabbos, not in huge depth, but to cover a couple of interesting points. Then we'll talk about letters involving food, which we've talked about a little bit, but now we'll do in a little bit more depth. And then we'll talk about some modern technology issues in terms of writing. First of all, in terms of erasure. So when we talk about being liable for erasing on Shabbos, we talk about it in terms of mochek amanas lichtov, that one is liable specifically if one erases in order to write. So this leads to a question regarding one of the topics we discussed in the most recent year, when we talked about books that have writing on the side of the page and the possibility that one will be chayav, one will be liable for opening the book, because that's an act of erasure, but it's not erasure for the sake of writing. So the Lavush notes, and this is source Aleph on the sheet, I didn't go into the Lavush itself to pull the quote, I just took the part that the Taz quoted. He says, V'nira li dehu adin osins from shakos v'n alem barosh echudei adapim lamalo mitzidein osios otevos. He's commenting on the discussion of cake, but he moves on from there to talk about books which have letters written on the ends of the pages. And he says regarding them, also the post on Shabbos Mishum Mochik, you're not allowed to open it on Shabbos. He holds that this is an issue of erasure, obviously disagreeing with the point that we would see in the Ramah that we saw last week in the Ramah, who said that distancing parts of letters from each other and putting them back together is not an issue of mochek or kosev. He says it is. Shari shover mochek ha'osios. You are erasing and destroying the letters. V'chein lamzol l'sogro asher mishum kosev, and putting it back together is kosev v'lefich. Nira l'chamir tfei mishviras ha'ugos de'inshem ala mochek. He says, I think this is worse than breaking the cake, which is only mochek. This is actually kosev as well. V'kan yesh mochek amanas lichtov. And he says, this is even erasure for the sake of writing. Because you intend to close the book after you're done learning from it, and therefore it's almanas lichtov. It's erasing when you open it for the sake of closing it afterwards. I don't think he's saying you open a book to learn in order to close it afterwards, but it sure is what it sounds like now. But he concludes the karavani lomer shechayev alochatas. He says, you know, I'm close to calling this a deoraisa of mochik, which is, you know, very startling. But that's the position that he takes. The Chazanish disagrees. He says, I don't understand that. Source base, in the part that I bolded, he says, it's not called mochek gamanas lechtov. It's not called erasing for the sake of writing. Not because of my point, which is that you could open the book and leave it open, and certainly not open it with intent to close it. But he says, the definition of mochek gamanas lechtov, of erasing for the sake of writing, is kishiyesh lo tzorech l'ksav hasheni, when you need what you're going to write there after the initial erasure, and the first one doesn't have whatever it is that the second one has. In other words, the first writing is actually inadequate. I don't want that first writing. I want the second writing. So I erased in order to be able to write something new. Here, the second is no better than the first. It's destructive when you erase, and you're just replacing it by putting it back together. If you're going to tell me my goal is that I want people to see this book is mine, so I had the sign already saying this book is mine before I opened it. By opening it, I ruined that. Now people look at it and they can't tell that this is mine. And I need to close it again in order to reinstitute that. That's not called mochek amanas lichtov. It's a very interesting insight into the nature of mochek amanas lichtov that the Chazanish is making here. But in any case, in terms of the book, he says, no, I don't agree with what the Lavush says. I'm going to come back to the books in a moment, but I just wanted to add a note from the Aruch HaShabbos here that I brought in Source Gimel. He talks about tearing paper without intending to ruin a picture. The truth is, I could have put this after the discussion that's going to be next on the books, but this is the way it is on the source sheets. All right, I'll follow the Seder. The Orach HaShabbos writes, Yesh la'ayin b'mikra sheyesh agabei ha'arizat suros igul o ribua o misgeret zaviv. He says, I'm opening a package, right? We've talked a lot about opening packages. In the Shir on Korea, we talked about it in terms of the issue, potential issue of tearing. Rabbi Ziering in his Shiurim on Bona and Soser talked about certain types of packages and their issues of construction, destruction. And I talked about it already in terms of opening packages and separating letters or cutting within the letters. So the Orach HaShabbos adds a note here. What if there's a shape on the package? There's some kind of a design. So there's a circle, there's a square, there's some kind of a border. She'enem tzirim gemurim, rak tzirot pshutos. These aren't what he calls full pictures. They're simple designs. I'm not sure that design is any different from the word picture, but I feel a need to not say picture. But he says, there are tzirot pshutos. Im yesh isur b'kriyazu. Is there a prohibition against tearing this? The yesh makum lidon. You could really argue that even though it's clearly prohibited for you to make such a design on Shabbos, and it's prohibited for you to erase such a design on Shabbos, since it's just found there on the paper, you're not trying to erase it, you're trying to just tear open the package. He says, maybe that's not called erasure. This is stronger than simply saying a davarshenu miskaven type of an argument. He's saying that where there is a design that we have no interest in, no focus on, it has nothing to do with us, then erasing it is not even called erasure. I don't pay any attention to it at all. Only if they were to have real letters or full-blown pictures, then, no matter what my intent, those would be called writing or a picture. And that would be called erasing, even if that wasn't what you were trying to do. I have to be honest, I don't really understand what he's talking about. I don't know what he means. I'm not aware of what the significance is of not being tzior gamur. If it's not a tzior, if it's not a picture, then there's no issue at all. Then there's nothing to discuss. And if it is a picture, then you know, who cares what my intent is? I don't really follow it. This is also going to resurface when we talk about food and the person who bites into the cake or cuts the cake without intention for the design, doesn't care about the design. We're going to see the same argument come up, and I really don't. I don't follow. Our last look about opening books with letters on the sides. We noted the position of the Levush, who says that it may even be a de'oraisa, as we've discussed. Also, as we discussed last week, we have the position of the Rama, who says that you're allowed to open and close a book with letters on the sides. You're just moving the parts of the letters further closer together, further apart. We have the position of the Prisha, who said that you would be allowed to do it because you're just they regularly open and close them. We discussed what that means: connection to a door, not connection to a door. The difference between the Rama and the Prisha is where it's not reversible. So the Prisha would say it's prohibited. The Rama would say still that it's permitted. We talked about the Taz as well, and the Taz is actually really interesting on this point. The position of the Taz was, you'll recall, that regarding cake, right? He quoted the Mordechai, as did the Rama, in which the Mordechai said you're not allowed to. The Mordechai said that you're not allowed to cut a cake. Because if you cut the cake, the Mordechai said, if you cut the letters in the cake, then you are violating mochek. That was the position of the Mordechai. And we asked, well, aren't you just separating parts of the letters, and shouldn't that be fine within the position of the Rama? So the Rama gave us his answer, the Taz gave us his answer. The Rama's answer was that here you're eating it, and therefore you actually are demolishing the letters on the cake. Whereas the position of the Taz is that it started out as a single unit, and because it started out as a single unit, therefore your act of separating them is different. It's a much stronger act of separation in the cake case, and that's why it's unique. And he said, you know, I might have thought, well, the book is also a single unit, but it's the pages that count, and the pages are not a single unit. And therefore, he says, I brought it for you in source Dalet, but because I'm on a little bit of a tight schedule here, I'm not going to read it all out. But towards the end of source Dalet, the Taz tells you that the pages are not considered to be a single unit, and therefore there is no mochik issue there. So what we have is the Labush, who says, this is a quasi de'oraisa. You have the Rama, the Prisha, and the Taz, who will be okay with it. The Prisha admittedly is different from the Rama in terms of a case in which you would open it and be unable to close it afterwards. In terms of the Piskei Halacha that we find, so the Magen Avraham and the Ma'amar Mordechai prohibit, which we already noted above. They say Shabbos 104, Shabbos Kuf Dalet is only about whole letters. Kreva is an issue. Bringing them the fragments of letters is an issue. And therefore they do not allow it. The Knesset HaGedola, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav say the practice is to permit. The Chazon Ish says one should be strict. And I brought you the Mishnah Berurah in Source A, who quotes Chai Adam. He says, in the end, if the book is necessary, then you can use it. That's fine. If you have another sefer to learn from, then you'd be better off using a different sefer. So if you come into shul and there's a sitter with writing on the side, and there's a sitter that's clean, yeah, better to use the clean sitter. Okay, that's in terms of the issues of erasure. Letters involving food. So first we'll talk about kosev, in terms of making letters and shapes, and then we'll talk about the various types of mochik concerns that come up. So in terms of kosev, making letters via food, meaning using food as your ink, so to speak, is obviously a problem. And we talked about that with the Cheerios discussion, lining up Cheerios to form a letter. But also making shapes in food is a problem. I talked about this in the gourmet dessert sheet when we talked about whipped cream. Not in terms of using them to make a shape, but making shapes by writing in food. Engraving, in other words. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Yom Tov, in Source Vav, Ein nok v'neke v'basar b'sakin l'slo sobo. This is an Uvda D'chol discussion. Uvda D'chol is way beyond the scope of what we're going to cover in this year. But you're not allowed to puncture meat with a knife to hang it the way they do, like they do it in the marketplace. Avol v'yad mutter. But you don't know, if you're not using a knife, if you do it by hand, it's less professional, doesn't look like they do it in the market, perhaps. That's mutter. V'imlasos bo siman. If you're making a sign in the meat, meaning say you'll be able to identify it later, mutar afilu b'sakin. That's okay, even if you use a knife. So I'm allowed to make a design in meat on Yom Tov. That's the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph. However, the Mishnah Brura chimes in Sor Zayin. He says, Aval osios vitziurim asur, I didn't add the word vitziurim, it's there in brackets in the original, asur la'asa san b'basar derech siman b'yom tov. But he says, you wouldn't be allowed to make letters, you wouldn't be allowed to make pictures in the meat, even though the function is as a siman. And therefore, the Shemir Shabbos Kehilchasa rules, in source Ches, en lishtamesh b'kli ha'miyuchah b'chituch ha'batiach b'tzura miyuchedes. He does not want you using a knife that is a special knife that has a special form such that when it cuts into the watermelon, it'll make a special shape, kamutzuras mishulash v'chule, a triangle and such. He doesn't want design cutting knives to be used to engrave a shape into food or to cut the food into a particular shape. Others note there is room for leniency when you're dealing with simple shapes. Maybe the Shemir Shabbos Hilchos's case is unique because it is a kli that is designed. The knife is designed for this purpose, and therefore it's clear that you are making designs. So maybe that's a special problem. But in terms of generally using a simple shape, the Aruch HaShabbos thinks that this is fine. The Aruch HaShabbos writes, it's in Source Tes, V'l'chor mevu armizeh, V'yesh l'chaleg bin asiyas tzura pshuta de'ein la'asorba, mishum sharashay adam lachtoch ma'achol l'chatichos, u'v'chol chaticha yesh tzura kol shehi, u'bein asiyas tzura merkebez yosir shechol shem tziur al ha'pe'ula hazu. He says, it's clear from here, from the discussion in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Mishnah Berurah about making shapes, that we distinguish between types of shapes. If it's a simple shape, we're not going to prohibit, because you're allowed to cut your food into pieces, and each piece is going to have a shape. It's, again, he's coming back towards this issue of intent, as opposed to something that's more complicated, that is called a design, and that's a different story. So the Aruch HaShavas says that simple shapes are allowed. The Aruch HaShavas writes that he really doesn't like, I didn't bring it on the sheet, but it's in Perek Tesvav, it's Ha'ara Mem Dalet. He writes that he really doesn't like spraying whipped cream. If there are ridges in the part where the whipped cream comes out, so that the whipped cream comes out with a design, he's really not happy about it, but he does acknowledge potential permission. Whipped cream is another discussion. If you want to catch my shiur on the gourmet desserts for Shabbos, the tiramisu, whipped cream, and something else, then you could hear more about whipped cream. But what we see, oh, Jell-O was the other item in that shiur. What we see is that I'm not allowed to use letters, to use food to make shapes of food, to make shapes, I should say, sorry, less shapes of letters or shapes of pictures. And that when it comes to cutting and engraving shapes in food, I have to be careful. I should not make a design, and using a kli that generates a design would seem to be problematic in particular. Mochek, erasure, these are the classic questions. Cutting into writing, eating the letters, what if letters and pictures are engraved in food? So first of all, we don't cut into the letters themselves, meaning to actually ruin the letters. And the Rama wrote that already in Shin Mem, Siv Gimel. What if the letters are pre-cut? What if they were cut before Shabbos? So the Aruch HaShavas in Perek Tesvav, Sif Yud, says, well, the Rama and the Taz will be fine, because now all I'm doing is moving them further apart, putting them closer together. So what's your, you know, what's your issue? The only problem that we have is that issue of cutting into the letters where the Rama and the Taz each explain why that's different. You know, either because I'm demolishing a whole thing per the Taz, or because I'm actually eating them. But if my letters are pre-cut, then the Aruch HaShavas thinks I'll be fine either way. The Levush and the Ma'amar Mordechai are not okay with that idea. It's still shifting kreva. Presumably, when he says the Rama is going to be fine, it's not if you eat them, though. I have to look into that. The Aruch HaShavas, I have to look that up and see. How would the Rama be fine if you're eating it? Why, the fact that it's pre-cut isn't going to change the fact that you have still demolished the letter now. So I'm not clear. Not clear about that. Interesting. Okay. Pictures. What about pictures on the cake? So the Aruch HaShavas, which we quoted before, said that pictures that are less like tziur, that are less like pictures, are okay. Right. That was his distinction, which we have already seen. It was back in Sois Gimel. Though if you're less like a picture, then it doesn't bother me so much. As we're going to discuss shortly, the Chazon Ish's position is actually that pictures on food may not be called pictures at all. That may give us broader license to work with, as we'll see. What about eating the letters and thereby demolishing them? So I guess that's why I put in the discussion about eating eating the letters. So the Mishnah, but here I'm not talking about cutting them with a knife, it's just the act of eating. So Mishnah Berurah quotes the Dogel Meravava to permit in source Yud Aleph. He says, Yud is just that line from the Rama, who says that you're not allowed to break the cake that has the writing on it. So Mishnah Berurah writes, in Yud Aleph, v'avdeinu amanas lichto, granted, you're not erasing for the sake of writing, so it's not a deoraisa, isura derabanan mi'eika, nonetheless, there is still a derabanan, v'av shena miskabed limchok, and even though you don't intend to do it, it's a psikratio, it's a guaranteed result, v'azer afa derabanan, uch demuchuch b'simen shin yud vav, sif dalet. The Dogel Meravava makes arguments to be lenient. He thinks that eating the letters, maybe you could rely on that Dogel Meravava, and I guess that's the point that we'll have to make regarding cutting into the letters as well. That the question I had asked, the Rama is still going to be unhappy because you're destroying them when you eat them. So he'll, the Mishnah Berurah will say, but the Dogel Meravava says it's okay. The Dogel Meravava's argument includes the idea that it's a psik resha, but it's mekalkel, it's kavachar yad, it's a derabanan, because it's not amanas lichtov. So we have various arguments that we can put together in order to allow it. The Chazon Ish is not happy with this. The Chazon Ish doesn't like this whole idea about the psik resha with a double derabanan. We mentioned that last week, but here's your source, Yud Beis. He says, Mishnah Berurah hiter derech achila devada ika trei derabanan shalom amanas lichtov kolachar yad. Right? It's mochik not for the sake of of writing, and it's also a kilachariyat. It's an unusual way to do it, aside from the mekalkel idea, although I guess that's really what he means when he says mekalkel. But then he says, miu ikara hatter de trei de rabbanon enu muchra. It's not so clear that that works, the trei de rabbanon idea, the double de rabbanon. And he says, the enlo makor begemara, it doesn't have any... it doesn't have any source, he says, in the Gemara. So the Chazon Ish is not comfortable with that idea. So you have the Mishabura, and I think that's what the world depends on, to say eating the letters is okay. Pre-cutting the letters would seem to satisfy the Ramah and the Taz as well. Your alternative is to cut between the letters and then just eat the letters relying on the Mishnah Berurah. What if the letters or the pictures are engraved within the food? So here we have a machlokes acharonim. Mishnah Berurah writes in Source Yud Gimel, V'davka osir k'shakos v'nal, I think I added the word osir, k'shakos v'nal ugos osios midavar acher. He says the prohibition is if you write on top of the cake, and now you're going to destroy that writing. But when they made this, they made the text as part of the cake. They used a mold that they poured in the batter, or by hand, you cut in as it, you know, before you baked it or during the baking. I don't know. Shari, he says that's permitted. The ain't shmin printed to eat it. The ain't shem ksiva alav. That's not called writing when it's engraved in it. And therefore it's not called erasing for you to get rid of it. Ditto if he wrote letters in honey that was mixed with water to dilute it, or fruit juice or whatever it is. If that's what he used, this would be considered okay. So yeah, I'm going to leave out that issue with the letters with the honey, because that actually introduces something else that I'd rather not go into here. But the Mishnah Berurah says it's fine to cut and eat these this food that has letters engraved in it. It's part of the food. It's not writing. The Chazon Ish said, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, Mashakas of Mishnah Berurah, the Kshaosias Me'uga Atz Mutar, Eino Muvan. He says, that's not clear at all. Da Osa came b'Shabbos, Vade Mikri Kosev. He says, I don't understand. If I were to take a cake, take a knife, and carve letters into the cake, of course I'd be liable for writing. But if it's not durable, then there's no liability. But of course it's called writing. It's called an act of writing to create it, and the text itself is called text. The Aruch HaShabbos argues that maybe food is different because it's not meant to last, and maybe that's exactly the point. The Aruch HaShabbos is in Perek Tezvav, Ha'ar Olamed Vav. But that's your machlokes. The argument of the Dagomer Ravava that it's not called text comes from, the Gemara in Pesachim Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, talking about certain foods that you might use as matzah at your Seder. So in Source Tesvav, it says you could fulfill your mitzvah with srikin hamitzuyarin, cakes with designs on them. So I don't understand. If you're going to tell me that I can't eat food with designs on it, then how is that mutter? So the Chazon Ish acknowledges that yes, that does seem to say mutter, and he tries to come up with an argument to permit. And his first argument, this is in Source Hezayin, is to use this psik reshe with the double derabanan. But then he says, knowing that he doesn't like this idea, he says v'yoser nira towards the end of the second line. And so it's tezayin v'yoser nira. It appears more likely to argue that tzura al halachem lo chayel alei shem tzura ela zehu tmunas pas. He says a shape on bread is not called a shape. That is simply the picture of the picture of the bread. Now, I think his distinction is letters versus pictures. So we said before, cutting writing or shapes on top of food may be a problem, and the Aruch HaShabbos said pictures that are less like tziur are okay. Well, the Chazon Ish may think that pictures on food are not called pictures at all. That may be the position of the Chazon Ish. It's an interesting point. He clearly is unhappy regarding letters that we've seen, but at least for this, in terms of pictures. And indeed, this is a point that the Aruch HaShabbos makes, quoting Reb Nissen Karelitz and quoting the Stipler in Source Yudayin, Kazer, Rinde Kagon, Reb Nissen Karelitz, Kutshani, as well as Chaim Knievsky, Shadas, Chazon Ish, Lesor Ba'osios, Chakugos Bepas, that the Chazon Ish would prohibit for letters that were engraved. And then he gives you in brackets a suggestion that the distinction would be that the picture is to beautify the bread, and therefore it's really subsidiary to the bread. That's the idea that he presents. He also notes, and that's the last piece there, He says, if you're actually trying to cut the letters, if that's what you're doing, you're not cutting the bread, you're cutting the letters for whatever reason, then you have now said, I consider this text and I'm operating with it as text, and therefore, Isser Mechika, the prohibition against Mochik, would indeed apply, even if, again, it's not Amanas Lichtov. Okay. Fine. That's the food discussion. I hope that was somewhat clear. Look, right before Pesach, I'm not exactly fully as focused as I ought to be here, but I hope that was clear. Questions of modern technology. So first let's start with some older modern technology, if I may use such a phrase. The old-fashioned X-ray, in which an analog image is recorded on a plate. So it's not reduced to code, it's like the picture is just pressed onto a, you have a light-sensitive material, and the image shows up on that plate. So this would seem to be problematic for someone to make such an X-ray on Shabbos. Obviously, within medicine, you have to have a whole discussion about level of need. Is there a broken bone? What are they looking at here? And that's a whole other discussion in terms of what would be the justification medically. I've given a couple of shiurim on that. I gave them several years ago. I hope they're good. I believe they're on YU Torah. But in terms of the image itself, this seems to be problematic. You are making a picture on an X-ray plate. However, there are interesting grounds for leniency. First of all, back in our first shiur on Kosef, we brought the Har Tzvi regarding the issue of developing invisible ink, and he was commenting on the Magen Avraham. And he said that if it's not derech ksiva, if it's not the manner of writing, then it's a derabanan. Now, the Yesodei Yeshurun rejected this in the case of a telegraph, where I send a signal that is going to lead to writing on the other side. If you take a look at Source Yeches, he said, "Degam rov haposkim lo eskimu ledivrei Magen Avraham bazeh." He says, most poskim disagree with the Magen Avraham regarding this this interesting heter. "Velo od ela de'ikar tamo shel Magen Avraham detchina sheis v'mikdash ikara yidei machteshes." He says, basically, that the source that the Magen Avraham uses this is tochen, and that grinding in the Beis Hamikdash was normally with human actions and not with an automated machine. And so there, it's not called derech tochen if it's automated. If you're only adding, for those who remember from the first shiur, if you're only adding the grain to a machine that's doing all the grinding itself. But here, in our case, this actually is the derech of writing. So the Yesodei Yeshurun makes the argument that that idea of not derech ksiva isn't actually relevant here. The Shevet HaLevi has a second reason, though, to say that it's derabanan. Also, a very interesting argument, Sorsi Tess. He says, "Yitachen ulai shein bo alei sedur rabbanon lo mipaas shekasav kvo taraso." Not for the reason that you gave when you wrote me this letter. Mishum v'lavi begeder roshem. You said, "Well, it's not called roshem." Ela mishum, and that's for its own discussion. Ela mishum ditzuras hatmuna nidbekes beatzma ala plata. Vanu osim rakapuula shemisirim hameniyot. He says, all we're doing is exposing the plate to light. The plate was not able to record any image before. You exposed it to light, you opened it up, and now it's able to record an image, but you didn't actually do any act of writing. It's not even the telegraph case where you send a signal. You simply removed an obstruction, and maybe that's a reason to downgrade this to a derabanan. That's an interesting argument that he makes. And then the Ber Moshe. So the Ber Moshe, and this was the question put to the Shevet HaLevi in the previous source, throws in another idea that I think is remarkable. He says in Source Yates, "Yitachen ulai shein bo alei sedur rabbanan." I'm sorry, that was the Shevet HaLevi in Chaf, the Ber Moshe, in his Kuntres Electric. He says, "But guf asiyas hatzmuna shel harentgen la'atzma," when someone actually makes the X-ray, "ein any roe iser de'oraisa." I don't see a biblical prohibition here. "Daharshimos einam nikarim ve'einenu muvanim rak liyachid mumchim." He says you have to be an expert in order to understand the image on the X-ray and what it's trying to tell you. So since it's only comprehensible to an expert, it's not an Isser D'oraisa of Kosev. Now, this is inconsistent with what we initially said when we talked about who has to be able to understand it, and we said even if you make a mark that only you understand, that's called Kosev. but that's what the Be'er Moshe is suggesting here. You can cut it down to a Derabanan. However, the Shevet HaLevi has a separate problem. The Shevet HaLevi believes in its source Chaf Aleph that when it comes to developing film or making a plate that's able to be functional with an image and so on, he says it may be Makabe Patish. So that's another discussion. Have you made finalized at any rate a functional item? Okay. What about the modern X-ray? In a modern X-ray, and I brought you a quote from Wikipedia on digital radiography in Source Chaf Beis, you can read it there and enjoy. You actually don't have an image being recorded on a plate qua image, but rather there are sensors and they record codes of whatever's in front of them, and then they have the code and are able to reconstruct an image based on those signals. So there you can make the argument, the Yisrael Yeshurun makes this in discussing Kosev, Shua Shabbos Kilchasam makes this distinction, the Rabbi Ribiad in Source Chaf Gimel, that if all it is a code that's being recorded and stored, Rabbi Ribiad called them uninterpretable electrical impulses, and in his Ha'ara he simply says, Kei Nira Pashut, that's not called writing. So this is not going to be a Kosev problem, the modern X-ray. Obviously I am ducking all issues of electricity, but that's fine. What about when you turn on a screen, you turn on a computer monitor, and an image is going to show up? So again, leaving aside all discussion of electricity, just focusing on whether this is a Kosev issue, could you rely on that Magen Avraham that we quoted to say, well, it's not called Derech Ksiva, it's not called the way of writing? So when the image shows up on the screen, you did not do what we would view as an act of writing. And again, the same objections as before from the Yesod Yeshurun. Maybe this actually is called an act of writing now when you turn on a screen and there is an image. What about changing the image on a digital screen? So you go in front of a camera. There's an image on it now. You walk in front of a security camera because you changed it, because you walked there. So what's our discussion going to be like in this case? And again, omitting discussions of electricity entirely. So the Orach HaShabbos says that this is viewed as writing midrabanan. I gave you the reference to the Orach HaShabbos in Chaf Dalet. I did not retype everything, but the Orach HaShabbos says. That's odd. I thought I had brought another source on here, but I don't see it. That's interesting. Okay. The position of the Orach HaShabbos is that this is viewed as writing midrabanan. The Nishmas Avram, quotes from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, to that effect, that it's a derabanan of writing. The Nishmas Avram is in Archaim Shin Vav. It's page 331 of the PDF version of the Nishmas Avram to Archaim. Why is it only a derabanan? So Rav Eliashiv says it's a derabanan because this is not derech ksiva. This is not the normal way of writing. The Minchas Yitzchak in Chela Gimel, it's Gimel Chaf Beis, says that it's a grama. Because it happens via the electric circuit that was completed, but you don't do an act of a direct act of writing. Rav Karelitz, Rabbi Ribiat, will say because it's not kept long term on the screen, that's why it's not a del reisa. So but they all make this argument that it's a derabanan in causing this to appear on the screen. In fact, Tzomen has an article, and this is what I thought I had brought on the source sheet. Maybe I will add it before I upload this. There's an article on the Tzomen website that argues it's better to use a keyboard than to use disappearing ink in writing. Because the disappearing ink is Kosev, and it's just a flawed version of Kosev of writing. Whereas with the keyboard, it's not Kosev. All you did was send signals that ended up resulting in the letters popping up on the screen. Again, I'm not sure how they deal with the electricity question. Are they viewing it like Rosh Hashanah and Orbach? That part of it is not clear to me, but that's their preference, is keyboard over disappearing ink. They say because all you're doing is sending signals, and that's not Kosev. There's also the position of the Betzel HaChachma, who says that this isn't called Siur at all when you make an image show up on a screen, image or writing show up on a screen, because he says it's like a mirror reflection when you walk past a mirror, so you can also see somebody. He says that's not called a Siur. But also in Shuvas Van Hagos, Beis Kuf Pei tests. What if you don't intend to have your image displayed? As in, some person walks into a hospital and there's a screen, and you know, their image is visible on the screen. So if you say it's not writing, then then there's no discussion. Rabbi Yashiv is lenient in a case of need. Rabbi Wasner as well. Rabbi Nissen Karalis still says Asur, and those views are recorded in that Archa Shabbos. It is Tes Vav Lamed Hey and Ha'ara Nun Hey. Okay, I realize I ran through this fairly quickly. We're unfortunately on a very tight time schedule. I hope, though, that this is somewhat helpful.